Lori does such a good job, and this passage was is so familiar. Everybody's heard that. And I thought to myself, what is there that I could do? What is there that God could do that would make this interesting? Well, you know what? God's word is interesting just in and of itself. And, of course, as I pray, I say, God, you just have to open up your avenue so that we find our way to you. And as soon as I said that, the avenue is from us to him. So it's that upward, and right away, it hit me. Just like for you, you know, it hit me right away. Take a look at your sheet. And it starts, I start off with, why do you need to prune grapes? By the way, I have grown several different varieties of grapes, so I do kind of know what I'm talking about. And it's really an interesting thing to do. But why you need to prune grapevines? To put it simply, pruning grapevines allows the plants to get enough sun. Now, I didn't write that. I picked that out, this picture that, this, and just change that S-U-N to S-O-N, okay? That is what today is really all about. You need to get enough sun. If you let your vines grow freely, just go wild, shoots and clusters will overwhelm the plant and create barriers that block the light. That's our life. All right, that's it. It's also important to get rid of older, less healthy canes and old wood to promote new growth and avoid diseases. That troubled me because the old growth is God himself and the roots, but that's not what it's talking about. There is old wood in the growth of the grapes that we need to get rid of that old wood because it's not going to produce new young shoots that produce the buds that produce the grapes. The trunk or the old wood that grows vertically, I'd like you to take your pencils, take your sheet, and where it says trunk, all the way down from underneath that, the grafted section, the root system, the whole shot, circle that and put God in the middle of it. Write God right in the middle of it. And God the Father. And then, where it shows the arms and the cordon are the little branches. They're both in the same location. Circle those and put Jesus, the Son. S-O-N, not S-U-N. And then the above that it says the shoots or the canes. They produce the leaves and the grape bunches and the whole works, but the shoots and the canes are us, believers. Put me in there, not TJ, but you, me. But it was so interesting when I found this diagram that right at above God, the trunk, what does it say right in the middle? The head. That's where everything goes. Everything comes off of that. You think Jesus knew what he was talking about when he decided to use this as an example? What a brilliant example. absolutely brilliant. Those people of that day knew growing grapes. They knew about it. There were vines everywhere. And leave it to Jesus to come up with the very best analogy that he could come up with. The parallels part here says, Jesus the Son, sent from God, the vertical between God and men. The vertical between God and men. Two, also, Jesus reaching out to man on earth. Are you beginning to start to see what his analogy leads you to with a grapevine? Then number three, the believers in Jesus' redemption. And four, the fruits. And Lori, this is very common what she said. We have a tendency, I've heard other people say the same thing. I thought the fruit was people that we reached for God. That's not it at all. He's talking about our fruit. What are we producing in our life? The fruits of the Spirit. Verses 1 through 8. And I'm not going to read everything here, but I am going to take the time to read these first couple verses. I am the true vine. Okay? He nails it when he says that. And my Father, God, is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Well, that didn't make sense, did it? He cuts them off, but the ones that do bear fruit, he prunes them so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. True versus false vines. We have a real hard time today listening to just about any news broadcast and believing what we hear. They've proven they can't be trusted. Most everyone. Does that include your friends? Mm-hmm. It does. How do you know you can trust them? And it leads me to go back and say, by their fruits, you will know them. I'm going to turn the tables. How do our friends and the people that are out there know they can trust me? Are you trustworthy? Am I trustworthy? I'm going to use my wife as an example again. She talks to people about Medicare, and she's just that. Those of you who have worked with her, she's a plethora. She's an encyclopedia of information about Medicare. And they have come to trust her because she doesn't lead them wrong. She leads them to the right thing. But what about life? Are we living the life with the fruit that people see it and say, what a beautiful cluster of grapes. You're so full of life. You're so full of what's real and what's right. You reflect God. You reflect Jesus. That ought to be our prayer. God, help me to reflect your Son, to reflect Jesus. Because if I reflect myself, forget it. Because in and of myself, I fail. I fail. But my fruit is what reflects God and Jesus. We'll talk about that more. True versus false vines. Be aware of false vines. I put in Muhammad, Buddha, etc. There are so many false vines. How do we know what's real? Because God's word tells us what's real. We have the gardener's manual on how to grow grapes. And that means that God the Father, through the root system and the trunk of the tree, gives Jesus everything he has. Everything. So that we will be grown and growing grapes that are just bountiful. And when I say bountiful, look at your life. We have available to us through God joy beyond compare. We should. And I keep saying this because I've been faced with it. I lost a daughter. But I will say this. Even in the face of death, we can know God's joy. God's joy. Jesus went because Lazarus died. He died. That was it. He died. He was in the grave, in the tomb. When he got there, Jesus, Lord, if you would have just been here, I don't want to compare myself to Jesus, but I think I would have been tempted to say, if I had have been here, then people die every day. But he didn't say that. His heart was broke. Was it because of their unbelief? Was it because of Lazarus's death? His heart broke. Because people didn't really know him to trust him, but he showed them the lesson. I give life. I give life. And I'm going to show you that I give life. And he rose Lazarus from the dead, and the word spread. He gives life. We need to spread that word. I have a great life. And like I said, even in the face of death, I can honestly say I have a great life. Because God is there to sustain me. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, gives me comfort and peace. False vines say what people want to hear, but teach a doctrine other than Jesus and the Word of God. You ever hear of one of these? Any other religion? Any other religion where their top dog died and rose from the dead? Never happened. It never happened. We are the only ones as Christians that have the ability to say, my God died and rose from the dead. He has the power of life. We just had a conversation this morning about starting to see people mask up again. There's a virus. Huh? Yep. There's a virus. The conversation led us down the path similar to what we're talking about today, about what have I got to fear? I want to stay healthy, yeah. I'll do what I have to stay healthy. But what do I have to fear? The second that my body gives up, I have new life. Wow, what an amazing thought. But it's a promise that God gave us, that Jesus gave us, that Jesus showed us by rising from the tomb and giving us life. I'm convinced that people in the world that don't know God, everyone born has this built in, because who's in control? Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. He's powerful. He's on the earth. He's in the world. And you see all this evil and all the dead branches and everything that's bad? It's his responsibility. So why would you want to follow him? But you know, he puts in each of us, when we're born, we live in this broken world, and that's what we begin to see, the brokenness. And by golly, I believe that creates fear. I truly believe that that creates fear in us. And we start to learn it as a child. And then we start to doubt what we hear from people that we're supposed to trust. We don't know what to believe or what to do. Today's scripture, and Lori went beyond where I'm going, but he said, I have called you, Jesus said. You didn't call me. You didn't choose me. I called you. Are you grateful for that? Are you a believer? If you're a believer, are you grateful and thank God for the fact that out of the billions of people, he picked you? That's special. Now, don't get proud because of it. Jesus was leaving with instructions to be aware of false prophets and how to determine God's true representative. He also lets them know that the gardener, the vine dresser, God his Father, is going to do what a good gardener does to get good fruit. He would be remiss as a farmer, as a good gardener, if he just ignored the grapes, let them grow the way they wanted, do what they want. I had that happen on one vine. I couldn't get to it early enough. It wiped out the crop of grapes. They were little. And it proves this point. He tends the garden. He tends our life. And he said, I love you, and I'm going to do what's best for you. And there are going to be times when I'm going to prune. Grapevines don't go ouch when they prune them. But we will. There will be times we say, ouch. But it's for our good. People are going to die that we love. We'll say, ouch. But that builds character. It builds understanding. It helps us to be able to, a friend that loses a spouse or a child or a friend that loses a friend, to be able to sit with them and say, I love you. God loves you. And we're not going to leave you alone. You have a friend in Jesus. You have a friend in me. No, vineyards were very common, and most everyone would understand these terms. There was a golden, I didn't know this, but there was a golden grapevine depicted on the front of the temple. And that grapevine was put there to refer to the Messiah. I never knew that. So as they were entering the temple, this big grapevine, that hurt, this big grapevine on the front of the temple referred to the Messiah. And who is the Messiah? This is on the Jewish temple. God, Jesus. The Messiah is Jesus. That's what that. And every time they went through there, they saw that Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. They're reminded constantly of the coming Savior, Messiah. They just missed the point. Number two, Jesus being the true vine demonstrates that we, the branches, must be rooted in him. in God. There is no other way if we are to bear fruit for the gardener. Can't happen. My next door neighbors, wonderful, wonderful people. They're really good people. They don't know Jesus. I'm trying. But you've prayed for their son. But they don't know Jesus. At this point, God said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I called you. He hasn't called them yet. Yet. Grandson. Yet. Wow. What a blessing. At least he's going to church. He's going to hear. But you know what? They're lost. My neighbors are lost. They're going to die and you're going to hell. That's not the message that I want to tell them. I want to tell them you're separated from God because we're all born sinners. We don't do everything right, and God is perfect, and he can't be part of sin. So he can't have fellowship with us as who we are until we have that fix that Jesus gives us. It's like shooting your arm with a drug. Jesus, 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 and then we're fixed. Because that penalty of sin goes away. The death penalty. Now, there are other penalties for sin that we'll see in our own life that we need to make straight and make right. But that's confession and understanding. He's also showing that our connection with Jesus is not through Israel. He made that point when he was teaching this lesson. That Israel, he's talking to Jews. You are not going to find salvation through Israel. Yes, the lineage comes through Israel in the form of relatives for Jesus. But Israel, just being an Israelite, is not going to save you. And he made that point. The vine and the branch example is a perfect picture of the essential need to be always connected to him as our connection to God. When we pray, the instructions that God gives us in the scripture, when we pray, who do we pray to? God? Yeah, it gets to him. But we pray to Jesus, and he presents that to God, his Father. The vine and the growth in that vine, everything leads back to God. We can't avoid that. As that grows, the roots in the ground, the trunk grows up, it shoots out the branches, and the fruit on the end of the branches from the buds goes all the way back down the line and right into the roots with God. Isn't that amazing how it still blows me away that Jesus picked this, and it's so perfect. We cannot escape unless we're pruned away. We can't escape the fact that we're tied to God. And it really ought to shake us. It really ought to resonate in our brains and in our minds that I'm living connected to God. How would that change your life? How would that change your thought process? How would that change your reaction to people? Every day, we're confronted with those thoughts. And we need to just remember that picture that I can't escape the fact that I'm tied to you, God. You are part of me. And I want you to make great grapes in my life. God or Jesus is our caretaker, doing what is necessary to achieve a good crop. Verses 2 through 8, and I'm not going to read these all again, but these next verses are a stark reminder that apart from him, there is no hope of producing fruit. Do you think when the gardener goes through and says, okay, this one's too many, you got too many things in your life right here? Is that any longer connected to God? Mm-mm. It's no longer connected to God. In fact, what does he say? He throws it in a pile to be burned. In other words, you're not going to lose your salvation. But we need to get rid of those little pieces of branches that are going to detract from our fruit. The production of fruit is what's at stake. And with that, I want to say this. The thought hit me when I was studying all this, that coming up from the ground, God and the branches, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit reaching out. Remember, the Holy Spirit wasn't there at the time. He was in the person of Jesus, but he had not been, Pentecost had not taken place. But the fact is, we are part of God once we accept Christ. And our production of fruit needs to be our top priority. Because what's that production of fruit going to do? We talked about that. People are going to see it. And they're going to give praise to the Father in heaven for our fruit. And then I added in, notice that the emphasis is not on producing fruit, not just any fruit, but fruit of the Spirit. Right, Lori? That's what she hit on today. These are fruits of the Spirit. And that comes from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or understanding, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, I went through these fruits of the Spirit, and I said, what is he missing here? He didn't miss anything. Everything there is our life. That's our life. I don't know if you've ever memorized that verse, what the fruits of the Spirit are, but that's a great verse to have in your memory to be able to remind us every day that these are the fruits of the Spirit. God, give me more peace, more love, more joy, more understanding. I mean, just go down the list. Help me to be gentle in the face of anger when a bully picks on us. Hey, what does Jesus say? We learn that hopefully as we grow in Christ. Then I asked John 15 verse 2, do we lose our salvation? Is that what he's referring to? I kind of covered that. No. The message here is that our heavenly gardener is helping us, he's pruning us to help us bear more of the fruits of the Spirit that we just read about. Things that will show we are his disciples. I hate this. I have a code to get in here, but okay. He says that this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, verse 8, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing who? Yourselves to be my disciple. Showing yourselves, but who are we showing it to? We're showing it to everybody around us. Jesus is giving us a little bit of a lesson on how to evangelize the world without ever saying much, but doing a lot. Do I love people? Am I generous? Am I giving? Am I kind? Do people see that in us? Do people see that in me? Does your wife see that in you? Does your husband see that in you? That ought to be our prayer. God, let your spirit be alive so that the fruits of your spirit are reflected in my life with everybody I know. And in John 15, 9 through 12, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. And get this, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And I read those statements and I say, but if I don't keep your demands, I'm not going to remain in your love? Is that what that means? No. It means it's time for a pruning. Because God wants us to reflect Him. And the things in our life that don't reflect Him need pruning. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Jesus, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. Jesus never missed a beat when it came to keeping His Father's commands. I have told you this, and this is the key. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be complete. And that complete word there in the original writings was, let it be said. That's a joyful person. That's a joyful person. Where does that joy come from? Jesus. How can you be happy? Jesus. It's just one word. But I can guarantee to you that if we have the fruits of the Spirit, people are going to ask that question. Especially in a world that we're living in today with so much evil and wickedness. And they're going to see the difference in us. I kind of closed it with not much else to say, is there? He wants us to have complete joy and lots of fruit. The old grapes that I grew, cut the grapes off and we ate them. You know, I don't think they found much joy in that. But it's just the idea that there were years when I didn't do my duty, where God always does His duty, and I didn't have grapefruit. Grapefruit, get it? Grapefruit. But it was my fault. In this case, if I don't have grapefruit, whose fault is it? It's my own. Do you want to please your Father in heaven? Like Jesus pleased His Father in heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased. Not much else to say. Does Jesus say that to us? We can have that. It's available. Just trust and live for Him. Father, thank you so much for your word. This little description of a vine and grapes and branches and pruning is so relevant to us, especially today, because we need to bear good fruit, because the world sees that fruit and they wonder, how did you do that? And we have the answer. You have the answer. We can direct them to you and your word. Give us the courage, the ability to do that. And Holy Spirit, fill us with the person of Jesus and bear good fruit in our lives. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.